Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube, TV, Sirius XM channel 158. Couple notes. You had Townsend in your parlay, Taylor Townsend.
Yep. One Man, leg home.
She was double parked outside.
Yeah, that was quick. That was like real quick, right? Six, when did one, these matches start?
6-1, 6-1. Breadsticks against Taylor Preston.
Boom.
You got that one in.
I kind of did the, is it the poll car? I'm mixing up who we give credit to for betting theories. The play against a no-namer, like a name you don't recognize.
I don't know. That
the
one.
Name versus a no-name. Isn't that like his Champions League? Like we play like, you know, Real Madrid versus someone you've never heard of.
The Paul Carr handicap that I love the most is, I'm just going to bet on the better team.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'm just mixing up things. Yeah. But I'm like, I stared at some of these tennis names, and I'm like, Gil goes through tennis bets every day on this show. I'm like, how have I never heard this name?
Oh, yeah.
That's how I put together some of these.
Because there's hundreds of these players, right?
Yeah.
I was looking the other day.
Like Taylor Fritz. This is yesterday. I just looked at my script. Played a Darwin Blanche.
Yeah. I went through the men's and women's rankings sometime the last few months, and I'm like, how far do I have to go down before I don't recognize names?
Oh, that's always fun.
It's like when Paul Spohr doesn't recognize a pitcher who gets called up. I'm like, if you don't know who that pitcher is, nobody does.
Oh, it's terrifying. It's like the first round of a PGA Tour event.
The answer,
Gil will be like, who's that guy? I'm like, I have no idea.
The answer, that's right. I do that with golf with you. Like, you know who it is? You're like, nope.
Like in January, Kelly, who's a Ryo Hisatsune? I'm like, I had no idea. Didn't realize he was going to be hanging around for the whole year.
The answer for me was I had to get to like 140th before I didn't recognize somebody. And Zach might recognize because Zach plays.
Sure.
Zach bets Challenger Tour stuff. The one that I'm looking at right now, again, none of our bets are in play, none of our match bets. But Medvedev is on his way to having a 2-set lead over Gorzny. So Medvedev cruising. Nakashima down a set. Now, that's the Djokovic quarter. We have Medvedev 7-1. A lot of other people have Nakashima targeting the same quarter, figuring it wasn't going to be Novak's year. Nakashima goes down. We're looking good with Medvedev, but it's a long way to go. It's best of five.
Where are you at? What website are you at right now to check tennis scores? What's your go-to tennis scores site?
Usually Flash Score, but this I'm just looking at on Google.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Flash Score, you can see how point by point how it went. Okay. Heat check.
Cool up 3-2. Okay. I'm sorry. Just looking at scores now, too.
Oh, listen to this. We got more tweets. Hold on. They're all about Roy Rogers and McDonald's. Robert Schaefer, one of my favorite parts of shooting down to Jersey is hitting Roy Rogers still at multiple rest stops along the GSP, the Garden State Parkway, for those who don't know. David Griffin, McDonald's at East West Highway. What a flashback, as it was right near my high school, BCC. I remember the growing number served, Bethesda Chevy Chase High School. Famous alumnus, Tommy Davidson from In Living Color.
What was the double R bar at Roy Rogers?
Double R bar was, I want to say, roast beef and a burger.
Okay.
Was it ham and a burger or roast beef and a burger?
Chris Leica texting in.
Yeah, Double R Bar was my jam.
Double R Bar was the best, he said. And the fried chicken better than KFC.
Ooh, I don't remember the fried chicken. I'll tell you what was great.
Is that really?
The coleslaw was great, too.
Good coleslaw. All right.
Robbie J 920. I'll be pulling for Ostapenko to make a deep run simply because I love hearing the greatest nickname in tennis. The hamburger brings a smile to my face every time. Well, we're fading Ostapenko with Tatiana Maria, so I hope you're not right, but I appreciate the sentiment. I will say this, the migration of a nickname on this show is fantastic, because I would call her the hamburger, and then Drew Dinsick migrated it to the Hamburglar.
Burglar, yeah.
And now everybody calls her the Hamburglar sometimes, yeah. Willie B. Benton, going back to the Will Hill segment, says, fraudulent bookmaker? Is that what he called it? Okay, heat check. Oh, by the way, here's the six tennis plays earlier, if you missed today's new ones. On the men's side, Jacob Fearnley against Tomas Martín Echeverri, Lloyd Harris as a big dog, plus 195 versus Stefanos Tsitsipas, James Duckworth, plus 142 versus Yibing Wu.
Quack, quack, quack. I'm with you on Duckworth, because I've never heard of Wu.
Lady side, Oksana Selikmedova, plus 147 versus Kamila Rakimova. And then the tie, Lanlana Tararudi, plus 350. Huge dog against Wimbledon champ Linda Noskova. And then Katie McNally, plus 108 versus Emma Navarro, battle of two Americans.
I played McNally as well. With you on that one.
Fearnley, Harris, Duckworth, men's side, Selikmedova, Tararudi, McNally on the ladies' side. All right.
Hey, great job with the pronunciations.
Thanks, buddy.
That was better than me.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
Shocking,
it.
Shocking, I know.
All right. We heat check on MVP, NL AL, and Cy Young. three of these are donezo, in my opinion.
Okay.
And we've made the case for them now for months. I hope people bet both of these guys, because they've gone from when we started talking about it, they were plus money propositions, both of them. And now they are wild prohibitive favorites. Talking about NL MVP and AL MVP. First NL MVP, Pete Crow Armstrong, is now minus 1400. And our reasoning, or at least my reasoning here on the show, was all things being equal, and all things were kind of equal. I know people are like, hey, but what about Shohei's pitching? Yeah, but still, he hadn't pitched in a while. And my point was, if all things are kind of equal, voters are going to look for any reason to give it to someone other than Shohei, because they know that most years they're going to kind of have to give it to Shohei because of the pitching. Now, Shohei had 85 and two-thirds innings of great pitching, 1.79 ball, but he hasn't pitched since, let's see, hasn't pitched since, I don't know, July 3rd due to left knee inflammation and right biceps tightness. And listen, I understand that it might be not correct to do this, but these are human beings. And they facing the prospect of having to give Shohei 10 to 12 MVPs, you look for a reason out. And now, by the way, Pete Crow Armstrong has made this easy now for us. 5 home run outbursts this weekend. His WAR is better than that of Shohei. Average right on par. By the way, on base and slugging now are really on par with Shohei too. They weren't before, right? Shohei at least had him in the slash categories. He doesn't really have him on those anymore. But homers, he leads by 8, 38 to 30. Stolen bases, 32 to 10. More runs, 100 to 88. More ribbies, 91 to 80. His WAR at Fangraphs is 9.3. Even if you combine Shohei's hitting and pitching WAR, it does not add up to that of PCA. So to me, by the way, did I make that up? 3.9? What's his WAR here?
6.8.
Oh, no. Actually, they do. They do exceed his 9.3. But like I said, this is good. They were looking for a reason, and now Pete Crow Armstrong is going to win this award. He is absolutely going to win this. He's minus 1,400. Yordan Alvarez has been saying the whole time through, even when he was in plus money, he's winning the Triple Crown race in the AL. He's winning other categories. Right now, Kelly, he still leads in average, 317 in the American League.
That's pretty good.
He's tied for homers with Junior Caminero at 37.
Okay.
So his Triple Crown status is now shaky, because Caminero is making a run at him in home runs. They're even. He leads in RBI with 94. On base percentage, he leads that in the American League, 432. He leads in slugging, 605, talking about Alvarez. He's second in hits, 155 behind Yandy Diaz of the Rays. And he's second in runs scored, 91 runs to Miguel Vargas of the Chicago White Sox. It's Yordan's, and Yordan's minus 2,500. And has always been Yordan's. Everyone was waiting for an injury. Never happened.
What do you think about the...
those are donezo.
Trying to pull up like the Triple Crown props that I've seen.
Even if Shohei comes back and has a good pitching outing or two, I think it's donezo in the NL.
Okay, so like this was like 2 days ago, I think I saw this. So yeah, I'm quoting a bad number. I saw the no price on him to win Triple Crown at like minus 350.
That's a terrible number.
Doesn't that sound too strong?
Yeah,
like, everything you just went through.
They're tied in home runs. And he's not like, yeah, I mean, he's tied in home runs with Junior Caminero. All it takes is that, and it's over. All right, NL Cy Young is done, too. We've been talking about this even when Jacob Mizorowski was in short minus money. These are all leading in MLB. Forget NL. But he leads the major leagues in ERA, 1.73. We're talking about Miz now, the Miz. 150 batting average against. The Jacob Mizorowski stats need to be talked about more. Let me repeat, 1.73 ERA, 150 batting average against, all first in Major League Baseball, 0.75 whip first in MLB, 79 hits allowed, 29 earned runs allowed, first MLB, 222 Ks, first Major League Baseball, 38.9% K rate, first Major League Baseball. His WAR is tied with Sanchez, Christopher Sanchez, at 5.7 WAR for pitchers. Tango numbers on Miz. Remember Tom Tango? He's picked... 34 of the last 40 or 32 of the last 38. I can never remember correctly. Cy Young. I think it's 34 out of 40. I think he's done it for the last 20 years. It would be 34 out of 40 correctly. 82.7 Miz, 74.9 Sanchez. Miz is running away. That one's over too.
Okay. Couple questions real quick. This applies to both the NL awards, MVP and Cy Young. What numbers would you have to have available to you to even consider a bet on Chris Sale or Shohei Ohtani? Because as you're going through all this, I'm like, this is done.
Chris Sale.
You're only getting 7.5 to 1.
Chris Sale would have to be exponentially greater. You need another 0 for me. Like, it just won't, like, it's not going
to happen. If I throw a 30 to 1, would you bet?
No.
Yeah, absolutely you're not betting. Okay, this is my point. And Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei, right, you can make, hey, what if he came back tomorrow and he had 4 ridiculous outings on the mound?
But is that realistic at this point?
No, he's not going to come back tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just it's still.
The one that is up for grabs is AL Cy Young, and I still don't know the answer to this one. Cam Schlittler, 12-6 with a 2.09 ERA, 201 Ks, has given up 38 earned runs. Dylan Cease of the Blue Jays, 9-5, so 3 fewer wins, 2.33 ERA, so behind by 24 points in ERA, 217 Ks, has 16 more Ks than does Schlittler. Way higher K percentage at 36.1% than Schlittler's 30.9%, and he's given up 39 earned runs, one more than that of Schlittler. Tango numbers. Tom Tango numbers. Schlittler 75.9, Cease 66.9. He doesn't have it close. Schlittler, by the way, is minus 170. Dylan Cease is plus 145 in the market. So Tango's numbers corroborate that. Why does Tango's numbers corroborate that? Because Tango's formula that has picked 34 out of the last 40 eschews advanced stats and goes right to the baseball card stats of innings pitched, earned runs. That one's a wash earned run, but innings pitched. Schlittler 163 and two thirds, Cease 150 and a third. Strikeouts, Cease has the advantage, but wins is big. I know we say it doesn't matter, but apparently maybe it's back tested. I don't know if he did it that way, but either way, wins seems to seep in to voters' thoughts, whether we like it or not.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In case you haven't noticed, football is back, and VSiN Pro gives you everything you need to bet smarter this season. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get instant access to our updated NFL betting guide featuring post-preseason updates, week one betting systems, contest strategies, and fresh best bets from VSiN's experts. You also receive our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. Your VSiN Pro subscription also includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Get started for just $9.99 or save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe.
Continuing coach thought bubbles. Mm-hmm. John Harbaugh is like, why won't this kid slide? Looking at Jackson Dart. Yeah. Why won't this kid slide? And then Kevin Stefanski's like, I got another jab.
Your Mike McCarthy call is great, though. Like, we've seen that expression so many times. It really does read, well, guess I'll try this play, see if Rodgers runs it.
Call play action again. He's just going to change it at the line of scrimmage, whatever.
Poke Therapy on Twitter. I like tracking tennis scores on Bet365. Only thing is, make sure you don't have it open when watching tennis. It'll be like a point ahead of the TV. That's true. John Balducci. Does anyone else remember the old RB sign that was the cowboy hat? I do.
Yeah.
Rockville Pike had that one. I think there might be one here in Vegas that still has that.
I was going to say, I think they're still around.
Yeah, I think one in Arby's. Yeah, Arby's are everywhere. Let's go.
No, but like the signs. Like the you're signs. Talking, I think scattered at least, yeah.
Let's go. Mountaineer Stable says, an F and a B? Just LOL'd in my quiet office at work when Will Hill dropped that gem. Best show in sports, hands down. Thank you. Let's go, Mountaineer Stable. Charles in Connecticut, agree that Roy Rogers fried chicken better than KFC, especially dipped in the horseradish sauce, and my preferred choice over any of the burgers. I could read more tweets, but I won't because he'll get mad, A, and B, he might have eaten at Roy Rogers in his past as well. From Pittsburgh, PA, it's Toddy Wishnev, everybody, the host, or I should say the star of Wishnev Wednesdays, the star of the Megapod, which comes back next week for week one of the National Football League. What's up, Toddy?
By all means, let's talk more about fast food when the FIBA Women's World Cup starts on Friday. All games on HBO Max. Now, I would like to take a shot at your friend Max. William Hilton trying to give me the business about being right on everything when the guy gives out the first 3 and first 5 in the Marlins game, but yet doesn't even tell you minus 120 or minus 115. How are you supposed to know? Thank you, Will, and thank you, Gil, for showing both of you your inanity. Thank you.
Todd Wishnev, everybody, at T Wishnev on Twitter. Todd, Two questions. One, you're not betting the FIBA World Cup, are you, perhaps, in the WNBA?
I just found out 2 seconds ago that it's on TV, so I may, because I know a lot of these girls on a lot of these teams. Because there's girls from the WNBA on all the different teams. Like France has Gabby Williams and Maureen Johannes, and China has a bunch of girls that I know. You know, so I know these teams, so maybe I might dabble okay. in the live if there's live.
Such an awkward break this late in the season, isn't it?
It is. I needed a break. I had run it all the way up to 21 units, and now I'm down to only up 2 units.
Oh, man.
I just totally lost my mojo in it. But, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Your FIBA World Cup women's outright odds. USA minus 400. France 8-1. Belgium 10-1. Australia 16-1. Everybody else 25-1 or longer.
Yeah. We're going to dominate. We, meaning us, the US of A. Okay. Todd, question.
WNBA haters like you and Will should not be saying.
We're not WNBA haters. I like it. I like the league. What are you talking about?
No. I know you. I know you and Will.
Just because you hate types. Caitlin Clark, that's a whole different story. Okay.
You're probably in favor of them throwing different things on the court that are can't be said in,
I am not in
favor. Nice company.
That's not true.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
I'm not pro
I'm
that.
Sure you are.
Have you eaten at Roy Rogers before? Have you in your past? Yes.
I mean, is that a serious question? Is that a serious question?
I would like the, obviously that's a yes. Where's the fried chicken rank, Todd?
Is that a serious question?
Where's the fried chicken rank? Have you ever had the fried chicken?
I haven't eaten any of that stuff in over 5 months. My blood sugar is good. I don't even want to talk about
that's it. That's right. We don't want to put it in his head.
That kind of discussion is just terrible. You should know better as a thin guy.
He cannot have even the discussion. He can't get, I don't want it to seep into his brain. All right, college football week zero happened last week, obviously. You are back at it, live betting college football, and you have some lessons to impart for us.
I mean, I don't know if they're lessons, but I would say that there may be some little insights into what, you know, different scenarios and stuff, which I think are interesting. You know, I wasn't watching the Robert Morris game in the first half. They were playing some, they do have ESPN Plus on a lot of these games. So I watched the second half, but I'm looking at the stats and I'm like, oh my God, these teams can't move the ball at all. So I played under 31.5 and I lost because of a defensive touchdown. Oh. But in my mind, it was the right play because, you know, typically you don't see the defensive touchdown. So that was an interesting situation. Here's one I wanted to talk about was kind of interesting. Florida State was playing New Mexico State. Okay, they're like a 30-point favorite. And this is where when you watch a lot of games and you look at a lot of statistics, you can start to glean insight. What are the stats supposed to look like in a game where it's 31-point spread? You know, what you should know what it's supposed to look like, okay? I'm watching the game. You're looking for midway second quarter Florida State to be averaging 9 or 10 yards a play because they can't be stopped even in the slightest bit. And you're looking for the other team probably to be averaging 2 yards a play. That's kind of what it should look like. It didn't look like that because New Mexico State was moving the ball, and Florida State was moving the ball, but they're only averaging like 7.5 yards a play. Score was 17-7. I said to myself, for sure, New Mexico State team total is the correct thing to play over. Now, why do I say that? The pregame was 53 and Florida State 31. Now, if you don't know how to do a pregame team total from just knowing the spread, you take half of the total, which is, call it 54 to make it easy. 27 is half. And if the spread is 30, let's say, that's 15 for each way. So that's 27 plus 15 is 42. 27 minus 15 is 12, half of the 30-point spread, right? And you get a team total 42-12. That's where what you're looking for is a 30-point spread on a 54 total. 42-12 is what the team totals are going to be around because that's, if you add it up, that's 30, and that's 54, right? 42 plus 12 is 54.
The confluence of spread and total, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you know pregame, people are looking for New Mexico State to score 12, and they're looking for Florida State to score around 42. So it's 17-7 midway, maybe a little bit into the second quarter, and I see New Mexico State's moving it at about 4.5 yards a play. They really shouldn't be moving that well. They are. I'm like, I got to get on this over on it because I know New Mexico State is going to score. Now, I thought, should I play New Mexico State team total or should I play just the total of the game, which was right around 52 at that point? I thought to myself, well, Florida State isn't averaging 9 yards a play, but still 7.5 yards a play. They'll probably continue to score, especially in the second half. And I know New Mexico State's going to score. So I'm just going to play the total of the full game. Ended up, I played like over 53. I think New Mexico State did score. And had I played their team total, which I think at that point was maybe around 14.5 or something, they ended up with 17. And I believe Florida State had 34, something, yep, something around there. But the point is, I outsmarted myself because I played the full game total instead of the team total New Mexico State, which I really liked. But I thought to myself, hey, it's probably better just to do the full game total because you're going to get a New Mexico scores and Florida State sooner or later is going to start to roll. That was my theory. And I lost by 2 points, but would have won the New Mexico State side. The point that I'm trying to make, I guess, is, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, no, finish your thought and I'll have follow up. The point you're trying to make
the point that I was, that I'm trying to make is, if you watch enough of these games, you know what a 30-point underdog statistic should look like in the second quarter.
It's an awesome
point. I knew that New Mexico State was moving the ball too much to have a team total that low.
Okay.
Similarly, USC as well. USC had a similar game with San Jose State. San Jose State was moving the ball too much to have such a low total. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was very low.
Okay. Here's my one follow-up. To the person who bets in game or is an aspiring in game better who likes what you're saying, but would have this question, would say, yeah, that makes sense, Todd, but why wouldn't I think, I understand what you're saying, but why wouldn't I conversely think, oh yeah, that's what's happened. This ought to regress to the mean. In other words, it ought to regress to what the preflop number is. Wouldn't the counter to that counter be, we don't know what these teams are yet. So there is, like, how can you even know what regression to the mean even means at that point?
But also, I think that I've watched enough of these games to know that if 20 minutes into the game, if New Mexico State was moving the ball as well as they were, now, I'm not saying they were moving the ball great, but they were moving it, you know, and maybe averaging 4.5 yards a play, that's not going to regress. That should not even be happening, period. Okay, in that kind of game. The fact that it's happening at all, it's only going to get worse for Florida State because as they get further ahead, they're going to put in second and third string, and that team might even move the ball more, which is what we saw in San Jose State. Early on, they only had the one touchdown, and then late, they put on a bunch of touchdowns because they could move it a bit against USC's first team. They could move it a lot against USC's second and third team defense. So I don't think the regression happens as much in scenarios like that.
Always fascinating. Todd Wishnev, everybody. Is the Discord open or are you full still?
I think we're full. I mean, we might have some spots. I'm not sure yet. I haven't figured it out.
Stay tuned on that. Thank you, Todd. Todd Wishnev, everybody, at T Wishnev.
Thanks.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Radio's Gil Alexander. Television's Kelly Bidlin.
Hey,
you good?
Oh, I'm great, man. I'm just reading up on Ely, Nevada.
You know, the first time I ever heard of Ely, Nevada was Chrissy Anders. My Shpucha once brought up Ely. He once did a Beating the Book podcast from a payphone in Ely, Nevada, I believe.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure that happened.
This was a, man, I don't think I've ever read this about a city before. Ely was founded as a stagecoach station.
And Ely comes up because Mark Borchardt was traveling from Montana to back to Arizona.
Home. Yeah.
With the dogs in the car, his actual dogs, his pets. And he made it.
A whole 3,900 people live there as of 2020.
Wow. Mark Borchardt joins us now, courtesy of Progressive Guest Line. You may know him better as Base Winner. You can follow all his stuff at Base Winner, basewinner.com. He joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, back where he lives. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Yeah, Ely, Nevada, not a bad place, actually. The weather's better in the summer. It was beautiful up there when I stayed the night there at a, what the hell was that place called? The Ponderosa Hotel Casino, dog-friendly casino. Nice. And so it was pretty cool. And they have, you know, I'm a big track and field guy, I do master's track, and they have White Pine High School has a brand new, I mean, they must have spent at least $1 million on that track. It's a great facility. I'm thinking about, you know, Weingarten used to say, hey, we're going to have a handicapper headquarters, like a camp, a compound.
A compound,
you know? And I think that the handicapper compound would really work well. So I got down 1,400 miles driving with dogs and a packed Land Cruiser. I really saw the West Coast. That's what I got to say, Gil. Right?
You said in there, I don't want to let this slide. You said you're a big fan of track and field. What event did you used to do in track and field that we found so amusing?
Well, I actually train for the pentathlon. It's the first event. It's a long jump, and then the javelin, 200 meters, discus, and 1500 meters. So yeah, that's one of the things I do outside of handicapping. That I'm super serious about, you know, for a 56-year-old guy.
I was going to say, what leads one in that direction? When do you wake up and say, you know what I'd like to do today? I'd like to throw a javelin or learn how to. When did that start?
Well, I've always liked to run. There's a really nice, talk about a great facility at Paradise Valley College here in Scottsdale, outside of Scottsdale. And so I've always run and sprinted, and a couple of years ago I started the long jump, and then I thought, well, you know what, I can throw the javelin. I did it a little bit when I was in my 30s, the pentathlon, and I said, well, I can go back and do that. So I love being outdoors, Gil. You're sitting on a computer all day, grinding numbers, writing code, and handicapping. It's nice to get out and get some fresh air.
You ever done the steeplechase, Mark, where you're hurtling into water?
No, I don't, but I have a really good friend, Flash, who went to the World Masters. His name's Flash, and he's really good. And he went to the World Masters Championship. It was in, you would like this, South Korea. Daegu, is that how you pronounce it? Yeah, that's where he went.
Why would I love South Korea? What are you trying to say? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think you vacationed there. I think that you left.
I've been there once.
Yes, I thought you did. I may know.
I may know a Korean. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Oh. We're just waiting for you to continue now. Mark, was that the end of Flash's story?
He won the steeplechase for, I think that he's 45 to 49 age group, and he won it. It was a good race. I'm very proud of him.
Didn't Boss Hogg in Dukes of Hazzard call his little basset hound Flash, I believe? I think that's what I picked every
Mark,
time.
Mark, have you ever, sorry, but we talk to Drew Dinzik once a week.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever handicapped track and field? Like, have you ever bet this during the Olympics or anything?
Yes, I actually have a really good friend, and I can't disclose who it is because he told me never disclose who the friend is. And he actually, at Bookmaker, they had they were the only available lines, and he was really good. He would do the Diamond League and the Olympics, and they ended up taking the markets off. He's like, I'll give you the place, but you got to monitor how much you bet because they're going to know it's me. I'm like, okay. And I did. I will tell you guys who it is off air, but I can't do it on air because I vowed secrecy to the guy.
Love it. I love that.
Does it rhyme with Mason Mine Martin?
No, okay. No. Very well. I can't, I don't want to get, I'll tell you guys, I'll okay. tell you guys off there. Yeah.
Okay. What'd you land on in baseball today, Mark? What are you betting?
Well, you know, today this is going to be the best parlay for Fezzik in the history of parlays. Oh. It's the Yankees Dodgers, a money line parlay.
Let's go.
And, I mean, if that's as blue blood and square as it can be, that's it. But you know, the numbers line up here. I've got the Yankees with Schlittler. I got them about minus 201, and they're in the market about minus 160. So I think that's a good play. And then Yamo will be there today, Gil, I think. The Dodgers minus 240, I think they should be closer to minus 300. You know, this Dodger team has been very sketchy as of late. I've bet this. Oh, and I'm going to do this too. Team total Dodgers over 2.5. You can get that at minus 108. I think it should be about minus 134 to be precise, based on the run projection and the Poisson calculator. I would put those together in a parlay. I'd bet both of them on the run line too. You can get them both on the run line about even money, Gil.
Okay. You have a straight bet for us so that Fezzik doesn't lose his mind?
Yeah, let's do this one. I think you'll appreciate this bet. Baltimore minus 1.5, minus 105. Bring back some childhood memories for Mr. Gill.
Yeah.
And Sugano is the worst guy on the board today from a hits per plate appearance, total bases per plate appearances allowed. League average is 0.36. He's at 0.475. There's only five pitchers that are worse than him, and I think four of them have been released. So that's a good sign for the Orioles.
Wasn't Sugano the guy that, like, if you blindly tailed the Rockies when he pitched, of any starting pitcher in baseball, you made the most money backing him too? Wasn't he
the
guy?
I think you're right. He's one of those guys, you know, and E-Rod the same way. We talked about him a couple weeks ago where all the sabermetrics are terrible. And it caught up to him last night. But, I mean, he was just pitching outside of his ASS from a sabermetric standpoint. And so that caught up with him. And I think that, you know, you can – some of these guys are villains, though, Gil. Like, remember Martin Perez a couple years ago, God. And you would say, "Oh, you Chris Young, you go way back in the day, Chris Young for the dude, Royals."
Dude, and Chris Young, I used to bet that dude 6'10". I think he's now the GM of the Rangers, isn't he? But he's Chris Young.
He is. You're
Chris
right.
Young, when he pitched, man, I used to bet on him because his saber metrics were just led me to it, and he would win more often than not. He would get the job done. But, yeah, there's littered with guys. When you bring up Martin Perez, though, I'm just thinking to myself, how are we still betting on this guy in 2026? It's amazing. He's still playing.
It's crazy. You know, these guys, he's one of them an anomaly. And Blackburn, when he pitched with the A's, was the same way. I think he's out of the league right now. Last I checked, he was in the bullpen for the Yankees, but I think that they released him. But, you know, you have these guys who where you have – you have really poor sabermetrics, but they continue to win, and that's the way Sugano is. And it leads you to a philosophical question: how long are you going to play the sabermetrics versus you know, what the guys produce? Right?
Yeah. Okay. Two questions here before you go. One: did you come up with any team for the month of September as your favorite?
Oh, I do, Gil. I actually have three teams, and
congratulations.
I'll give you the exact percentages, Gil.
Okay.
I got the Dodgers as of today, and this updates every day for me. I've made this application. I'll have to share it with you. It's really cool. But they're 30.3% to win the month of September. So that should be +231. You can get them at DraftKings +320. Mm-hmm. Philly, again, got me there last month.
Congratulations.
13. Yeah, it was great. What a fun time. And I wrote about it if you guys want to see like a fun success story about the month simulations, go to my site, read my post, because it was a real good journey. But I've got them. They should be +625. They're in the market right now at +1200. And then the third team that's showing value is the Guardians. I've got them 11.2% to win. So +793 would be the right price, the fair price for me. And they're +1400. So I think that those three teams are the ones that are showing value. And real quick, I'm waiting for these division winner, monthly markets. Cause I actually have the application handicaps those too. And, shout out to a couple of people who actually listen to me. You know, Bob Geddes, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He tweets on your show a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He got the Astros at 14-1. I think I gave that out maybe a week before the season or before the month ended, or maybe 10 days or something like that. So I'm waiting for these division markets. I don't know if DraftKings is going to put them out. They did about maybe on the 3rd or the 4th of the month last month. So I'm waiting for that. And you know, hopefully we'll be able to talk about those as well, Gil.
Last question, 30 seconds. We went over World Series matchups earlier on the show. What would be a World Series matchup that you would be interested in seeing how it's priced if you could bet it right now?
You know, I'm showing like Tampa Bay maybe, and I have to look at the prices. I know I would say maybe Tampa Bay, like a Tampa Bay Philly would be a good one.
35 to 1. 35 to 1. Does that interest you? Might that be something that might interest you?
I'd have to run the math though. But I have, you know, each team to win the World Series I have, and so like it's just basically a multiplication of both those teams. So, okay. But that would be right off the top of my head. Yeah.
Mark Borchardt, everybody. Thank you, Mark. Congratulations on the Phillies again in August. We'll recap all the bets next on A Numbers Game.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game, un partido de números, live from Certain Resort Casino downtown Las Vegas. Once again, partido used in Spain as the word for a game. I don't want South American Spanish folks saying it's juego. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a tweet that corroborates my Dukes of Hazzard memory on Flash.
Dude, I don't even know what Mark Borchardt just talked about. It was so entertaining. I laughed. I feel like I cried. It was an entire experience. He brought up like the Ponderosa Hotel, right? This hotel he stayed
at. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure this place does not have a website. Can you imagine a company in 2026 not having a website?
That's kind of fantastic.
Right?
Yeah. If you're going to go with a brand, go with it.
I mean,
full steam.
I type this in the Ponderosa Hotel and Casino. It's just Yelp reviews and Reddit reviews.
Hmm. By the way, we should mention before I read the rest of the tweets, tonight is the final episode of the Circus Survivor Quest for $18.7 million doc.
Yes.
Kelly prominently featured, according to Kelly, in episode number 6, where he said, as Gil says, and then he just said anything.
I don't even know. I like had a medical event after
I gotta watch that. It is tonight, premieres tonight, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Or you can go back if you miss any episodes, watch them at YouTube at VSiN Live. YouTube, not YouTube TV, but YouTube itself, the VSiN Live page. We have all of those episodes, 1 through 6, already up there. 7th and final episode tonight, the quest for $18.7 million Circus Survivor. Shout out to Steven Shalansky. Shout out to James Farah.
Yes.
Who produced this?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And our friend Matt Brown, I guess, as
friend
well.
Matt Brown.
These guys have worked so hard on this all year long. It's incredible.
Absolutely. Props Profit went down the rabbit hole of nostalgic fast food chains and chains I can't find in L.A. Roy Rogers was one. I grew up in New York and remember going on Queens Boulevard, lived in Miami, and still crave the chicken soup from Pollo Tropical after a hangover. Wow.
Hmm.
Charlie D, USA number one, has a picture of not of Boss Hogg holding Flash, but of Roscoe P. Coltrane holding Flash. Dell Mind the Gap Radio. Back in the 90s when New Jersey Sportsline had a 900 scored phone, I used to wear the Plantronics headset that Bass Winner was wearing in the last segment to answer the score phone. Roy Rogers for lunch in the 90s. Las Vegas 504. Yo, Flash was Roscoe P. Coltrane's basset hound. I'm sorry. He barked and growled whenever Boss Hogg was around. Rough, rough. I forgot about that. You're right. He didn't like Boss Hogg. Trojan Ram Gill, it was Roscoe P. Coltrane who owned Flash, not Boss Hogg. These best listeners ever. Keith Fournier, in case nobody else has replied, I originally learned mind your P's and Q's as an old English pub thing from when they kept your tab of pints and quarts on a chalkboard.
Wild.
Apparently there are other origin theories. Yes, there are. It's not, no one knows for sure.
I just can't believe how many people we've had tweet in that said they've heard that before. Like, I had to Google.
There was the printing press one that we had earlier, and then here's one. Manners shortcut. The letters stand for please and thank you. P's and Q's, please and thank you.
I mean, that makes more sense to me, too, even though it doesn't make sense.
Shrek McPhee quote tweeting Lenora Sellers, who is interning at a putt-putt golf course.
That was a driving range.
It was a driving range. It appears he's not taking it very seriously. Let me just put it that way.
All right, real quick, I got a couple things to follow up on before we get to bets. Sagano, that was the pitcher for the Rockies? As you and Mark were having this conversation, I was like, who has those money stats again? I forgot. Covers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fourth. 14-10 would have made you a little over $1,100.
He used to be first. At the Q3 derivative show, he was first.
Eduardo Rodriguez.
E-Rod. Mark brought him up right after that.
21-7. Yep. They're over $1,300. He's number one.
It shows you those pitching stats are just like the blind betting thing is ridiculous with those guys.
And then I wasn't crazy on that. Triple Crown. You can get plus 350. Yes.
On Yordan to win the Triple Crown?
At DraftKings.
Wow.
Right?
So you got like 20 some odd games left.
320. He
leads RBIs. He leads. Well, here's the thing. He's tied with Junior Caminero. We're talking about Yordan Alvarez. Mm-hmm. He's tied with Junior Caminero for home runs. The baseball card triple stats, triple crown stats of home run, RBI, and average. Currently with RBI, that's the thing. I don't think he has a comfortable lead in RBI either. His RBI lead is, let's see, he's got 94, and Pete Alonso has 91.
Okay.
So, okay, he's three RBI lead. And then average, I think average is, he's 316. Chandler Simpson of the Rays is 310. So, average in RBI, he can kind of get there even if he's not spectacular at this point.
Right. I mean, it's 3.5 weeks?
Home run's going to be the issue. What's a better bet, that or that A's to have the worst record in the AL West?
The AL West, yeah.
At plus 150. They were both great
bets. That got hit after yesterday, we brought that up, of course.
Pounded that yesterday. Money Gun Guz, later today, the Westgate College lines are coming out. Either of you two studs signing up in the college contest? I am not. I think he's talking about us.
You know what? This year, I think I'm going to skip. Just like Grandissimo, I'm going to take a year off, Gil.
The this contest sign-up sheet, they have, you know, millions. They have survivors. So I put 1 million, 6 survivor. Yeah. Then I looked at the Grandissimo. I'm like, and I said the same thing to the guys. I'm like, you know, I'm not going to do Grandissimo this year, guys. That's okay.
Two funniest things about signing up. It's that. And then did they still have, because you don't have it signed up yet, do they still have the jacket size option?
They do, which I do not fill out for superstitious reasons.
Well, Steve Fezzik does. I'm pretty sure I can confidently say
Steve Fezzik doesn't fill it. He fills it. Not only does he fill it out, he then shows up and gets a jacket with others win, and he invests.
That's right.
Although Fezzik, what was Fezzik's counter story to that? He goes, it's not what it seems like. I thought they were measuring me for the jacket size at the check ceremony, which he was invested in a winning entry. I thought it was free. Turns out I had to purchase it at that point.
Oh, so like, I don't remember the full story.
But why are you letting yourself get measured for it then? That's the...
Right.
Yeah. In the first place.
Okay.
Steve's like, free? I'll take it.
Free?
Even if I'm an investor? Okay. Recapping the bets. Here are the six tennis plays again. They have not started or they're about to start. Men's side, Jacob Fearnley, +117 versus Tomas Martin Echeverry. Lloyd Harris, +195 versus Stefanos Tsitsipas. James Duckworth, +142 versus Yibing Wu. Fearnley, Harris, Duckworth on the men's side. Ladies side, Oksana Selik Medeva, +147 versus Kamila Rakimova. Lanlana Tararudi, +350 versus Lina Noskova, and Katie McNally, +108 versus Emma Navarro. We do have two pending from yesterday's. Yesterday was, again, a 3-3 wash. And we made, again, like 5 cents on the dollar we made yesterday. Long way to go for 0.05 of a unit. And the two that are pending, one's a set apiece, Tatiana Maria against Yelena Ostapenko, and the other's 4-4, Magdalena Frech against Ivayovic, pardon me. Those are the tennis today. And by the way, the big sort of the Medvedev, our Q3 men's side of things. Oh, if you have Brandon Nakashima, it's not looking good. Medvedev is up 2-0 against Gorzny. He's sort of coasting there. I shouldn't say it's on serve in the third set. But Nakashima down 2 sets in a break. So if we can get Nakashima out of the way, Daniil Medvedev is very live in that quarter. Big foe is still in that quarter, too, though, it should be pointed out. You, sir. Oh, also, Red Sox, 28-1. Most wins September. Blue Jays, +23/+25. Most wins in September. They both lost on September 1st. But we do have Dylan Cease on the hill tonight for the Blue Jays, I believe. And then Caleb Williams, passing yards leader, 20-1. Nick Benito, defense player of the year, 14-1.
For me, week one, NFL, Jags, Jets, 6-point teaser. Jags, Texans, 6-point teaser. Bucks, Bengals under 51.5, and the Broncos +3/-120.
Minus, I like how you finished that. 120.
Earlier on the show, Will Hill.
Earlier on the show, Wilson Hilson. Marlins, Royals under 4.5, first 5. Orioles -130 versus the Rockies today. College football, week one. Georgia laying the 46.5 versus Tennessee State.
Oh, my God. I remember him talking about laying all the points. I don't know if I heard the spread.
Oh, yeah.
46.5. Whoa.
He's on Louisville catching 7 versus Ole Miss. Week one NFL, he's on the Cardinals +10.5 versus the Chargers, taking the points with the Arizona Cardinals. And then Seahawks to win the NFC West +215 from Will Hill. Also on the show today, Tim Murray joined us. He has Colorado, the Buffaloes, +7 versus Georgia Tech this weekend. And he, too, is on Louisville plus the points versus Ole Miss. So Will and Tim match on Louisville plus the points versus Ole Miss. Was that the, I think that was the remainder of the plays on today.
We got Mark.
And Mark Porchard, of course. Yankees-Dodgers moneyline parlay to make Fezzik's head explode off his head, off his body, +126. Dodgers team total over as well today, over 2.5. That's got to be a first 5, right? Team total over 2.5.
Yeah,
assuming that's first 5. -108. And then the Orioles on the run line today for Borchardt. So Will is on the money line on the Orioles. Mark is on the run line on the Orioles. There you go. Those are all the bets. A whole bunch of tennis again. All day tennis. The weather appears to be okay, so we should get them all in today. At least, you know, famous last words. Nakashima 5 points away from being bounced. Good for Medvedev bettors like ourselves. Let's go. We've done all we can do. Prop points is next. John Hansen, who, by the way, really good at what he does. The record speaks for itself. John Hansen next, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Enjoy.
Thank you.